It's Tuesday, January 30th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I've got a great one for you tonight. And boy, I tell you, almost did not get this one out tonight, but strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran and welcome to the show. Hey everyone, how are you? I tell you, I'll be honest with you, I almost did not put out a show tonight. I came home from work and I had quite a long day. It started out very early and was a very, just a madhouse Monday. And got home and my wife was waiting for me and she basically said, "Will you go deal with those two?" And yeah, my kids were like, "Is it a full moon or something? What is going on?" So I spent some time doing the dad thing this evening with a couple of unruly kids. And boy, they sure test you sometimes, don't they? And I just end up having this just mind-splitting headache. It just was driving me crazy. And up to about 30 minutes ago, I was thinking, man, I'll put this out to tomorrow night. But the show must go on, and hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana, and of course, if you're a new listener, thanks for checking out the show, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content there. Of course, check out all the archive podcasts available via the podcast link. And for those of you that were kind of watching the site, I actually got the GoDaddy pre-release video, kind of like their teaser video, up on the website midday today. So that's available. If you go over to geeknewscentral.com, you guys can see the teaser video. And I hope you enjoy it. I thought I was going to be able to release it on Saturday, but they said, nope, cannot release it until Monday. And be honest with you, I got real crazy busy here last night and forgot to put it up before I went to bed. And I got up this morning, and so it didn't go up to midday today. But it's up now. Check it out over on the website. Well, I tell you, I'm going to have a very short evening because by the time I get done the show, get it wrapped up and put up online, I'm going to have to crash because I have to get up about 4 a.m. And I've got a demo I have to do in the morning, so I have to be ready to rock and roll at 6 a.m. So there is going to, I told my wife already, when you hear the alarm clock ring at 4, push me out of bed and have the, you know, the coffee pot needs, I need to have the coffee pot ready to go on heavy brew cycle, so I have some caffeine in the morning to be prepared to do this demo. But I'm pretty excited about that. A lot of great things are happening over at Raw Voice. Now, I did knock out, I had another term paper due, got that done, got it turned in. Actually, it was turned around by the professor within 24 hours, sent my grade back. I got a 95% on it, which makes me real happy with the result on that particular term paper. And to top it off, we had a roundtable yesterday from the part of the Tech Podcast Network. Now, we had a late cancellation. We had one of our presenters that was essentially the folks that was coming in from Juicecaster. He was in Germany and ended up not having good net connectivity and was not, of course, it was 1 o'clock in the morning by the time we got started for him. So we basically going to delay until next month back when he's in the United States and he'll be able to put on a show. Now, we learned a few things about this roundtable and probably going to be some changes coming down the pike. We had some pre-recorded stuff that just did not really did not go good. It was just, yeah, I think the live interactive stuff works the best. I think we're going to try to continue to push that as much as possible. But we'll have the video up. Video's not done yet. Just has been not enough CPU cycles in a day here to get it knocked out. To actually ask Adrian, who hosted the show, to actually get that up for me. So Keep your eyes peeled over at techpodcast.com. We'll have the video up here hopefully within the next couple of days. Hopefully tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. But big news today, isn't it? Wow, it's Vista launch day. How many of you went and stand in lines and got a copy of Vista tonight? I don't think very many of us probably did because we got most of us have to work in the morning. But it's a pretty exciting thing. A lot of news out on that. Of course, a lot of press events today. Before we get into the full-blown content for this evening, if you're not already signed up for our newsletter, make sure you get signed up for our newsletter at geeknewscentral.com, a prominent link up on the top right-hand page, right-hand column of the website, and that'll get you signed up so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. I tell you what, there's just a huge number of you that are signed up to that, and I've had to have the folks that, matter of fact, there what it is GoDaddy has a limit on the number of outbound emails per day, and I've had to three or four times had to say, can you raise me another 3,000? Can you raise me another 2,000 outbound per day? So I had to call them again today and have that limit raised again. So I'm glad you're all signing up for the newsletter. I do appreciate your continued support as far as that goes. All right, speaking of GoDaddy, let's take care of a little business here. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, you enter the code T-O-D-D, Todd, when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And, of course, you want to make sure to watch the Super Bowl this upcoming weekend because they're going to have some cool ads. And, of course, as I said earlier, make sure you check out the teaser that's up on the website. Now, if you had tuned into the live roundtable that we had on Sunday, some of you came in on the talk show side and were listening on audio only. Some of you actually came into the actual live interactive session. You would have seen how one of these virtual meetings really worked. And the main thing is here is remember that GoToMeetings is the world's best web conferencing tool, and it's a solution that meets needs of all businesses today with unlimited meetings for one flat rate. It's easy to use. It's completely secure. You can record your meeting, and of course, you can try it for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, digging through the news tonight a little bit, and my motivation factor wasn't super high. So I'm sitting here boom, boom, boom with my head feeling like it was going to fall off my shoulders. But I tell you what, I did find some little tidbits that I think will be good for your consumption needs today, tech consumption needs. Do you realize that Microsoft is going to be spending $500 million in Vista marketing? Is that like a wow or what? They're saying that there won't be a PC sold anywhere in the world that doesn't have Vista within 6 months. Now, that's, of course, outside of the Apple realm, but that's amazing. And the launch today of this new operating system is their largest in as many, you know, I think there were like in 100 countries. And it's just amazing the rollout that they're having with this and how aggressive they're being. They're essentially betting the farm on Vista, and they're expecting, a huge uptake. And I guess we'll have to see how it goes. I'm probably not going to go run right out and buy a copy. I don't know. Maybe I'll get the Vista buzz here in a few days and want to go out and check it out. But if you went and got Vista, we would love to hear, or I'd love to hear, of course, what you think of it. If you've loaded onto a PC for the first time, what version you bought, and what your overall reactions are. Now, of course, fair warning: if you're using a lot of apps that are not Vista ready, be real, real careful. Especially if you're a Quicken user, you're going to have some problems there. There's a variety of different applications that don't work. And I'm going to see, I think what we'll see here over the next couple of days is I think we're going to see a lot of announcements from companies that have found out, oh, we've got problems and we need to get our piece of software upgraded so it works for Vista users. All right, there's some pod camps coming up, and Pod Camp Atlanta, and of course, we're proud sponsors over there of that. The Blueberry community is at blueberry.com. And if you're a podcaster and you are looking to find out about podcasting, and if you've never been to a pod camp, you're definitely going to want to check it out. It's going down on March 16th through the 18th, and it's going to be at Emory University in Atlanta. And you can find the actual information about that at podcamp.pbwiki.com/podcampatlanta. I'll have a link to it in the show notes tonight. So if you're a podcaster, if you're an inspiring podcaster and you're thinking about jumping in the pool here and you're close to Atlanta, this might be a great event for you to attend. Chris Perillo announced today Gnome Deck 7 dates. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to attend this year, to be honest with you. I've been looking at the number of leave days that I've been burning on vacation time. This little extra trip to Chicago kind of burns some extra time that I may not have based upon the extended portal and portable media and podcast and new media expo that's going to be happening in September. So I don't know if I'm going to go to Gnome Dex this year or not. I'm on the fence on that, but it's a great conference, and it's one I really don't want to miss, but I have to really think about whether or not I'm going to be able to go this year and fit it into my schedule and be able to afford the off time from work. You know, Hawaii is really, it makes you at a disadvantage because you almost have to leave a day early, and then sometimes you have to leave a day later, and it just causes... you know, you lose a couple of days of vacation time just because of the location. But anyway, that's going to be going on for August 9th through the 12th in Seattle. And a great event, again. But they are going to be having a January 2008 with a special Gnome Dex back in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, that was the first, that's where Gnome Dex originally was being held. So there's a chance for some of you, if you're in that part of the country, to attend a Gnome Dex in January. This sounds like a pretty cool opportunity. Chris going to two a year. I'm kind of curious about that. We'll have to see what people have to say, what's going to be going on there. Now, if you want a little bit of advice here, and there is a, well, if you're a gamer and you overclock your PC and you really want to make sure that you get the maximum cooling effect, you may want to check out one of the projects that a gentleman made, where he made an oil-cooled PC, and quite literally, he made an acrylic case, and he's got this thing oil-cooled, and quite literally oil-cooled, and I don't know how many gallons of oil that he has in this, but now you can't use just any oil. You have to... this requires some special oil to be used, but check out the link in the show notes. I think those of you that have are gamers and are looking to look for some extreme mods, this might be one of them. But this is pretty amazing what they've done here, and that's over at techeblog.com. All right, Engadget has a great article up with. Just, oh my goodness, it's probably got 100 Vista pictures. So if you really want to find out what's going on with Vista, setting it up, what you're going to see when you go through the process and the different screens that's available, you'll definitely want to check out the gallery that they have. They've got just a boatload here of images for you to check out. I'll have the link to that, of course, in the show notes as well. Now, if you're just... you know, this is, of course, this week is, you know, Microsoft's week to shine in the sun here. And I'd really love to hear your feedback on your new user experience. As I said earlier in the show here, I want to get some feedback. And I don't know, maybe I will just go ahead and upgrade a machine here that I have. Just, well, maybe we'll do it. What do you think? Should I do it? Should I upgrade one? Maybe I'll be real brave. Now, here's the kicker. You know, my wife has been using XP for as many years as I have. She's not completely computer savvy, but she's got a machine, a desktop machine here in office. It's pretty top end, and it'll handle Vista, the new Vista, very easily. So maybe I'd upgrade that machine, not even say anything about it, and get her reaction as a general PC user. maybe we'll do a little in-house experiment and do that. What do y'all think? Think that'll be a good one? Or do you think I'm risking being put in a doghouse for months on end? Ladies, what would you do if your husband upgraded your operating system without you knowing it? Would you be mad? What would happen? I think I know what the answer is going to be, but it might be a good little experiment here and to see what she thinks. You know, for that aspect, I think that we'd get a very honest opinion. I think we really, really would. All right, those of you that are gamers out there, Sony is going to be slashing the PS3 price by 25%. Yep, you heard it, 25%. So, you know, that's pretty amazing. And with, of course, the PlayStation have not being launched yet in Europe, with a 25% discount, that could lower the price down to about 599 euros, which would be 150 euros off. The question is, are they only going to do that in Europe, or are they going to do that here in the United States as well? That'll make some people mad here, though, that have already bought a PS3. You know, Sony hasn't been doing too good on the sales on this so far, and maybe they need to, maybe they're desperate. Maybe the price will come down even more with the hope that they're going to make it up in games being sold. All right, this next story comes from one of our listeners here of the show, and it comes from Kevin Shannon, and I have a link to his website in the show notes. But he's run into a very unique problem, and he wants the community to know about it, and this is quite a travesty, really. His son left for college this month, and when he went off to college, he had bought a new laptop with a Windows Media Center in it. And while they were looking at options on whether or not they wanted to get, you know, get him cable in the room or buy a tuner card for the PC, whatever it may be that they were, you know, they're looking for options for him to be able to get media, to get TV programming and to use it, you know, get it through his laptop. Well, long story short, they looked and finally decided to get on Slingbox. They went and bought a Slingbox. So they went out to the local big box and picked one up, got it set up, and his son got the information there at school and was able to essentially started to try to watch what was on the Slingbox. And it turned out that he had a lot of bandwidth problems. So he started talking with the cable company, and it turned out they had a problem with the cable modem. And this was after, a couple hours on the phone, where the cable company finally relented and said, oh, yeah, that's definitely a hardware issue on our side. Go ahead and bring the cable modem in. He did. He got a new cable modem. The upload speeds were back where they were supposed to be. Son's happy. He's happy. You know, he's the man. I've hit a home run here. You know, my son's been able to tap into the programming here at the house. It's all good. Well, I guess a day or so later, he gets a call from the cable company, and they have basically flagged his account for being using a lot excessive amount of bandwidth and streaming video uplink to his son. Well, they really cracked down on him pretty hard, and they were rough on him and saying, "Hey, you're an abuser. We don't have to provide support for this." You know, the Slingbox typically needs about 256 kilobits of upload speed on a network to send it out to get a good video stream. And, you know, the cable company that he was on, which was Cablevision, you know, had that type of upload speed, so he was good. But essentially what this tech said when he called, he said that the network was and service was built to supply bandwidth to many customers and can not support continuous streams, and they only provide up to 2 megabits per second as a burst speed, not continuous. And of course, then they went on and said, "You've essentially violated our terms of service, and we have the right to limit your service when people are using too many of these resources." So essentially, he's went out, and the $170 he spent on his Slingbox, you know, is essentially now been thrown in the trash. Now, what I'd do is I'd box that thing up and take it back. Many of the stores will take those back if your ISP is not going to play nice. So, you know, the company has essentially said that he had asked them, will a stream of 256 kilobits impose the limits? And they went and answered. He said, how long do you have to run a continuous stream before the limit is applied to your account? And then why can't the limit be removed automatically once the upload stream stops? And essentially what it would be is, you know, his kid's not going to be watching all the time. He's going to have schoolwork to do, you know, whatever else is going on. So it's just going to be, you know, from time to time, he's going to be connecting. Well, they really weren't really nice about it. And so now he's kind of stuck, you know, and he's wondering what's the issue here. You know, what happens if he uploads a 1 gigabit file to a friend's FTP service? He wonders if that's a violation. And he wonders if he uploads multiple large videos to YouTube, is that going to be a problem as well? So, you know, he says if his son watches an episode of 24 in the Sling Box, you know, is that considered a violation? But nobody over there could give it to him. So randomly, he's getting shut down for using too much resources. Now, this kind of, you know, this sucks. And it's obvious that this company has doesn't have the resources available. And they don't expect people to do stuff. But you know what? We're in a new world now, folks. The amount of video that we're all pushing, the amount of content we're consuming, you know, these companies are in big, big trouble. They really, really are, because it's only going to be magnified by, you know, 1,000 times over the next 4 or 5 years as we all start to consume a lot more media. A lot more people have Windows Media Centers on their desktops, and they're starting to pull this data in. And this goes along with a couple of other things I'm going to talk about tonight. But Angelo, one of our lead programmer over at Raw Voice, he just moved into a new house, and he had to pre-arrange to make sure his cable was turned on, and he was going to have his modem service that he's moving from a service area, essentially out of apartment into a house. And when he got into that new house and got all hooked up, his connectivity was horrendous. He went from, you know, having great service with Time Warner to having absolutely horrendous, I mean, flat out horrendous. And he could hardly stay connected. And his frustration level grew to the point where, you know, he considered going to ADSL as an alternative. Now, that's quite a step down, going from cable to ADSL speed-wise. It's, you know, it's just, and that's how bad it was. And the cable company couldn't figure out what's going on. They were out to his house a couple of times. He missed a couple of days of work. And just could not get the speed. It just wasn't there. And he spent hours and hours and hours and hours on the phone with Time Warner. Same type of issue. You know, here we are. I know I can't upload. I can't push. I got problems. You know, I rely on this. You know, there's just, you know, all in the no sympathy from the cable company. Well, he was very, very fortunate because he lives in an area of Ohio near Columbus, where there is a company called WOW, W-O-W, I guess is Wowie or something like that. It's WOW. I don't have a hyperlink for it. I'm sure those of you in that area maybe have heard of the company. He got hooked up with them, and they actually are on a different infrastructure, cable infrastructure, than is the Time Warner. He says he's in a 5% of the country that has the option with two different broadband cable providers. And so he flat out just canceled his Time Warner service, shut off all of his cable with them, went with this WOW account that came in, got it set up. He is seeing downloads of it using a speakeasy test site, like 6,600 some kilobits per second with push speeds of over 700 kilobits per second. You know, now, he's just blown away. You know, here's a company that has not got a lot of press, and they were able to, you know, here's Time Warner, a big company that's been in the cable business a long time, and, you know, they lost him as a customer because of their inability to serve up the bandwidth that he needed and reliable. And make sure, you know, the modem was just shutting off on all the time with Time Warner. So it just goes to show you, folks, that competition is good. If you live in a part of the country where there's only one cable provider, you really need to pay attention to what's going on with your local, legislators and everything else, so that when another company comes in and wants to get right-of-way access to put their own cables in, it's only going to make it better for you. Now, he says this company costs a little bit more, but he didn't care. He's happy. He's got great speed. And You know, Kevin, I'm not sure where you live and what part of the country, but I would be shopping. I would be shopping for another broadband provider. Now, I don't know Cablevision. It's I don't know who are they run by. Is that just a local? Is it an East Coast company or what? I've never heard of. I've heard of Cablevision, I guess, before, but I don't know where they're, what part of the country they're actually in. But have you guys run into that problem where you just have a cable company that just refuses to help you? And I'm kind of in that situation here in Hawaii. And that's why now I have a Clearwire modem that is sitting here in the window that points towards a tower that's across the way here from Ford Island. And I'm actually not even in their footprint, but I'm still getting good speed. And I've got, I'm nuts. I've got a cable connection as well. But it's just because I need the bandwidth and no one is able to provide me the bandwidth that I need. And we're going to talk about some initiatives that are going on in the country right now that may help all of us, get some better choices here in the future. But there's also some caveats out there that I want to caution you with. And as we walk through some of the material I have tonight that I think will maybe make you realize you need to be careful. First of all, it's great to have competition, but it's also at the same point you need to be very careful on what you're choosing. We'll get into those stories a little bit longer. Now, I've got an article here I've got linked up. This is about DMCA. Something has been bypassed in Vista. And I actually did not read this article. I only saw the headline. This is a little bit about they're saying that the DRM or the DRM has been bypassed within Vista. There's been a workaround found. I don't know what the validity of this article is. I'll have it up in the show notes. You all can check it out. It was linked from a couple of different sites. So, what I'm reading here, yeah, I'll let you all take a check out. If you're interested in the DRM issues within Vista, this probably be a good one to check out. All right, the Read Write Web at readwriteweb.com has come out with a pretty good article talking about the top 100 alternative search engines. Now, most of us just go to Google, right? Well, I've had put kind of a call out to all of you that listen to the show and asked you, what do you guys use for search engines? And I was surprised by the number of you that actually use Yahoo as your primary search engine. Now, be honest with you, I haven't been on Yahoo. I don't think I've done a Yahoo website search in a year. Maybe I've done one or two, but I was shocked. I really was shocked by the number of you that sent me emails saying, yeah, I use Yahoo as my primary search engine. And no one said they used Microsoft as a primary search engine. But anyway, this article links up 100 alternative search engines that you can check out. And some of them are kind of themed type of engines where they have specific type of stuff that they're searching for. But great list here, and may be able to, you know, might send you down that road to be able to find some search engines that'll serve you the niche type of stuff you're looking for a little better. All of you that are WordPress bloggers, there is a great post out on drweb.de. And I have, of course, have this linked up in the show notes, and it shows 80 different WordPress templates. And I'm looking through some of these. They look pretty nice. Some of them are pretty good. So if you're looking for a new WordPress theme, you definitely want to check this article out at the Dr. Web weblog at drweb.de. Engadget had some more. Of course, had a full rundown of what happened at the Windows Vista launch. Blow by blow on what happened with the launch speech and everything else. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out. You know, it's the Engadget folks, and I had kind of forgot, but, you know, we had talked about how they had such a huge team at the Consumer Electronics Show. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Their AOL is their owner. No wonder they had such a huge team there. The AOL, I'm sure, paid all their ways and their expenses and, you know, when you've got that kind of backing, I had kind of forgot that, Engadget is now owned by them. So, that makes sense. And then, of course, they get all this great coverage. And so what happens when you got a big company that owns you? And, I guess that's the key word, owns you, right? Okay, you know, they talked about how if you purchase Windows Vista, you're going to be able to get free T-Mobile Wi-Fi. Well, of course, the geeks out there are not to be outdone. They want to know, okay, what are they doing to be able to get that free Wi-Fi from the T-Mobile hotspots? And they have worked out a little hack so that no matter what you're running, if you're running an Apple machine, if you're running a Windows XP machine, you can actually trick a T-Mobile hotspot into giving you Wi-Fi, all right? So I have that link up in the show notes as well. It's essentially surrounds the user agent that's being reported from your browser. Well, it didn't take the Chinese very long because there is a prototype of what they're calling the Meizu M8 PMP phone. And I tell you, it looks awful familiar to the iPhone. I mean, like really familiar. So I think you'll all get a laugh out of this, but it just goes to show you it doesn't take the Chinese very long to do a knockoff of any new product that's out there. And I think when I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, I think, you know, I saw a lot of people from foreign countries, especially a lot of Asian people there with cameras. I mean, they were in booths taking hundreds and hundreds of pictures. And I always wondered, you know, are they taking those pictures and they're going back and then are they, you know, they're actually using that for marketing research, or are they actually going back and building knockoffs of stuff? And I'm not saying that was probably the case, but I'm sure there was some of that going on at CES. And I guess maybe I understand why companies are so reluctant to have any of their pictures of their media or any of their hardware get out before a launch, because, you know, you look at this, how long has the iPhone been announced? Just, you know, not a couple of weeks, and here we've got a knockoff that is going to be coming to market in China. All right, IPTV and home television offerings are telco's best stealth solution to bypass any net neutrality resistance. Well, this is the headline off of Robin Good's website. And this is an article that if you are thinking about getting a TV from your telecom, you need to be very, very careful, especially when it comes to IPTV. And this is a write-up from a very, very negative experience by a person that did this, because many of these people that are getting IPTV through their telco are having to sign up for a one-year contracts. But what they're finding is that because the IPTV device is using so much of the bandwidth that's coming in into those people's homes, that what they would have may have had a great connection on ADSL before through the telecom is now been replaced. The ADSL line has been shut off and replaced with a different device that is essentially locked into it because it's proprietary. But this is not good. This is really not good news on this front, folks. So if you're looking at getting an IPTV from your telco, you absolutely, unequivocally need to go and read this article. Use extreme caution when considering this. I'm not saying that every person's experience is bad, but after I read this, I would definitely have to investigate very heavily before I would ever consider having an IPTV service brought in by a telco. Now, here's a little info. These IPTV type of applications are dime a dozen. At last year's CES and this year's CES, we saw all kinds of people that had IPTV solutions that run on your current internet service, okay? So you don't have to go out and get this through a telco. You can get it as a software add-on to your current hardware that you have at your home, and it's not going to affect, you know, if you're on ADSL or if you're on a current cable modem or whatever you're on, it's not going to affect that. This article only affects IPTV through a telco, through a telecom. Be real careful, okay? All right, there's a little bit of news out of spacetoday.net saying that Mars may still have large amounts of water. Scientists are convinced that the atmosphere leakage of Mars has been much slower with the carbon dioxide burn-off than what they thought, and that they really think that there's a lot of water locked up hidden in the subsurface of Mars? Well, I guess the only way we're going to figure that out, folks, is we send a drilling rig over there, okay? So that's the question. When is NASA going to get send a water drilling rig to Mars? Now, would that be interesting or what? Or are they going to have to, is the first people that go to Mars going to have to drill a well? That's the question. And what kind of technology do you have to use for that in the conditions that are on Mars? That's going to hurt your brain a little bit to think about that. And I'm sure there's a lot of scientists probably getting paid a lot of money to try to figure out how to extract water out of Mars. And, how much water they have to ship up to the International Space Station. How much does it cost per gallon or per pound to send it? It's not cheap. And you can only drink what you take, that's for sure. And unless they find it there, it's being awful dry. it's a matter of survival if we're ever going to go to Mars or have a manned space mission to Mars. All right, I wrote an article on my blog over the weekend. And, we talked a little bit in the show here before. I was asking people to dig the show over at Dig. And I did I've been doing a lot of research on who is driving traffic to my website. And I've been looking at different podcast directories, many of the favorites that we've talked about in here before. And I look at the number of essentially where are my new listeners coming from? And I've kind of made a decision here that I am not going to support portals or directories in this show that essentially I send all the traffic to them and they never send nothing back. And I think it's important, and I guess the reason why I'm kind of on this kick here is that you all are listeners. Some of you that listen to the show are also podcasters, but you as listeners, when you go to just any one of the top five or six podcast directories out there, I firmly believe that those sites have essentially become set up for podcasters, patting each other on the back. And the same thing with the Dig site, the Dig podcast site. You go there and you link on it. The first 10 shows are the same 10 shows or so that are listed in iTunes. And it's a big fanboy network, okay? It really, really is. And it's self-feeding because those top, and don't get me wrong, those top shows are great, great podcasts. They really are. I'm not digging against them, saying that they're bad. They're not. They're great produced shows. And some of the talent that are on some of the shows is just absolutely amazing. But what I do want to say is those types of sites that do nothing but build top 10 lists or make me beg you to dig or to vote or whatever it may be, sure, it drives you over there and you dig the site or you comment on the site or, whatever you may do. You may vote or whatever it may take. But how much traffic do I get back, for that activity of bothering you guys to send you over there? Also, as you as listeners, when you go to those sites, are you finding content that you want to listen to? Are you subscribing to it? I put a note on my blog, and also I'm going to put it out in the show. If you found this podcast via Dig, if you subscribe to this podcast solely by finding it on Dig and you had never heard of the show before, I want to hear from you. I also want to hear from you if some of you found me through, I want to know I'd love to hear where you guys found the show for the very first time and how you got subscribed to it. Because I'm trying to determine which directories that I want to support. Because if I'm going to push you over to a directory, I want you guys to be able to find the content that you're looking for. And self-serving fanboy sites, I don't think are it. Now, a disclaimer here. Of course, I'm very, very opinionated in this, in that obviously Blueberry itself is, it's got its own mechanisms. We give people equal opportunity to be on the front page. We rotate new shows to the top of our listings. We give people an opportunity to be able to go over and say a specific episode was really, really good. And kind of, it's almost a Dig-like feature, but it's expiring. It doesn't, it's on a show-by-show basis, or an episode-by-episode basis, not on a show. So you can't go over and just dig Geek News Central, but you could dig this particular podcast or juice, as we call it. You could juice it. So, you know, my whole mentality has been, as a podcaster in any of the sites we've rolled out, is podcasters want exposure. Podcasters want you to be able to find their content easy. And as I look at these different sites and directories, I really don't, you know, I think they've really become so scope locked in supporting their podcast community of podcasters, they really haven't put any forethought into listeners. So I'd really, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this, you know, and I'll be the first to admit, yeah, I'm wrong. If, you know, if 100 of you send me an email said, hey, I found your show for the first time on Dig and I'm a subscriber, or I found your show the first time over at podcast, whatever site. And, you know, I think early on we relied on those directories, but the directories have stayed static. They haven't changed. You know, they haven't updated. They haven't moved with the times. So I was pretty harsh on the Dig portal. Now, maybe they'll get their act together and change it somehow so that it becomes a better destination point. But, you know, right now it's purely a popularity site. And I guess popularity is nothing wrong with popularity. And I'm not wanking here that I don't have 50,000 digs. That's not the case whatsoever. The case is, though, is that you go to the site and it's the same shows on the list day after day after day after day. You don't see nothing fresh. And if you have to dig down, you have to dig deep to find anything that's down in the weeds. And I believe it's easier for you as listeners to get a good exposure to a lot of great content. I mean, there's a lot of great content down in the grass that people just haven't been able to find. Because, you know, these sites aren't set up to be productive for listeners to use. So I've talked enough on this, but I'd really love a listener feedback on what you guys think of the different sites. And be critical of mine, too. You know, be very critical. Blueberry, if you don't think we're doing something right over there, boy, believe me, we're here to serve listeners. That we're here to help podcasters build listening audiences. And if we're not doing that right for as you as a listener going to the website trying to find content, boy, I definitely want to hear. I really want to hear about that, because the only way we're going to get better is people send us comments and say, yo, this part of this sucks or change this, make it easier for me. And of course, for our podcasters, we have a private mailing list that they can make comments as well on and provide feedback. But we really don't have anything for the community or listener community yet. Maybe we need to do that. But anyway, enough on my rant. There was a couple of sites that commented on my comments. Some of them said, hey, it doesn't matter as long as you're everywhere. That's all that counts. But I'm definitely not going to just be begging you guys to go somewhere. All right, I told you I'd talk a little bit about you know, what's coming in the broadband front. A great article by Larry Degnan over at ZDNet. And actually, it's Dan Farber and Larry Degnan, and also featuring David Barlin. I guess this is a... Why would three people be on the same byline of this? But anyway, what the article says is Verizon is going to be spending $17.5 billion to $17.9 billion on capital expenditures in 2007, most of that allocated to a fiber-to-the-premises or FTTP rollout, and take an 11-cent a share hit in the first quarter as it continues to bet big on leapfrogging rivals in broadband. So the Fios service, FIOS service, may be coming to a lot more homes with this rollout. But you know what? You know, if the second Verizon starts crying about having to roll this out, I am just going to have to come off the top rope. You know, we've been giving them millions and millions and millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars a year to help support that infrastructure, because they are a company that has to serve the public and be in the public trust and are regulated by utility commissions all across the nation. I hope that they understand where we're headed. Obviously they do, by putting this type of a capital investment in fiber. Hey, bring it to my place, baby. I'll sign up for your service. I absolutely will. But please don't wank about it. Just get it done, okay? All right. All right, news out of YouTube, of course, is upload video, download cash. And looks like that YouTube is going to be sharing the wealth a little bit finally. So that looks like those that are submitting videos on YouTube are going to start to get paid. Doesn't really say how the video sharing plan is going to work yet, but it is forthcoming. You know, come on, YouTube, do something about that zany interface that you have and clean up your codec so that my videos don't look so bad on your in your community. For gosh sakes, I'm shooting with a high-def camera, and they come out perfect on my end, and I send them to you guys, and you destroy them. Do you guys have any experience in help in getting YouTube videos so they look good? Is there a secret formula, a secret encoding rate or something that has to be done? I'd love to hear that from someone. I really, really would. Really bad news. The Hubble is in trouble. And apparently one of its cameras, one of the main cameras, the ACS, Advanced Camera for Surveys, has stopped working. It went into a safe mode on Saturday, and engineers think there's little hope it can be fixed. This is not good. The ACS was installed in 2002 and has been responsible for some of the most amazing pictures that the Hubble has been sending to Earth. And it increased the capability of the telescope by a factor of 10, but it's down for the count. And they're thinking that the shuttle flight that's planned in 2008 is already so full of planned fix-its that they don't think they're going to be able to fix it. They think that the ACS is now essentially kaput. They don't think they're ever going to be able to recover it. This is bad news. I mean, this is terrible news. And it's sad to see this this news come out of NASA, but we'll keep an eye on this. Maybe I got confidence in those guys. You know, they say that's really tough. Well, guess what? That's what they get paid for, to do tough jobs. They're in the space business to keep us in the space business. So hopefully they'll make some modifications to the mission that's going in 2008 and fix that bugger so that we get some of those beautiful pictures that's been responsible for sending down. All right, if you're if you use QuickTime all the time, hey, make sure you're downloading the patches. There's a bunch of security bugs have been going on with that. It's been a couple released by Apple, and there's a second patch has come out only 22 days later. So don't know what's going on that front, but there's definitely some concern there. Make sure that you're getting that update so that you don't have an issue with anything that's loaded on your computer from those bugs. All right, let's get into it. I don't have any voicemail comments tonight. I do have some email comments. I got an email from, and I'll apologize in advance, Caray, if I pronounce your name incorrectly. He said, "Hey, Todd, my name's Caray. I purchased a copy of your book, Podcasting and the Do-It-Yourself Guide. I've owned the book for well over a year now, and finally I was able to create two shows, one for my instrument music and the other for my indie label. Long story, the book has been great help, but..." There we go. I don't know if someone wants to talk to me on Skype. Cindy, I will get back with you later. I need to take myself offline here because she's going to ring me. Says, "I've owned the book for well over a year now, and I finally decided to create two shows. Long story short, the book has been great help, but I don't know who to go with. Too many choices. I have a 250 megabyte account with Libsyn, which is great for your... That's a great place to drop off your audio. That's a great place to dump that. He says, "I'm a musician. I need the simple way to post a weblog and podcast/podcast video. I was going to go with GoDaddy.com. What about using iWeb to podcast?" I've never heard of iWeb. Never heard it. Don't know if it supports podcast RSS enclosures and its RSS feeds. Here's my suggestion. Go over to weblogs.com. You can very easily log in there. They'll give you a free blog account. Since you've got your audio somewhere else, boom, you get signed up with there. Add the plugin, I guess PodPress would probably be the one to, unless one of you WordPress users come back and say to upload a different plugin, use PodPress as a plugin on the website, and it should be very self-explanatory. You can get a variety of templates there, Kari. Matter of fact, you can look at those 80 templates I talked about earlier in the show. Go to weblogs.com. It's free. So that you get set up real easy. You know, it's great for people that are non-technical, and you'll be able to get your music up. And make sure you send all those videos over to all the other media sites. You know, Blip.tv, YouTube, all the other sites as well to get the exposure that you deserve. And good luck with the show, and thanks for purchasing the book, of course. And if you have any questions, drop any additional questions, drop me an email. If you need a little more help, I'll help you out as much as I can. I got an email from Bob, and Bob says, Todd, I've been listening to your very interesting podcast about your EVDO internet connection and noticed something interesting today in my local Fry's Electronics. Store has the D-Link DIR TAC 450 EVDO to 802.11b/g router access point in stock. And it costs $199 each. They use a standard Sprint / Verizon EVDO PC card for connectivity. So I have a number of friends that are within Verizon's or possibly Sprint's EVDO coverage area, but can't get DSL or cable internet. I have several internet connections I paid for as I travel from place to place. This could be a huge game changer for the DSL cable monopolies. I could cut several high-speed connections and just carry the PC card with me and plug it into the routers. Okay, here's the story there, Bob. I would not be able to really, if you're just doing email and surfing the net and stuff, you'll probably be okay on your EVDO in your house. But if you're a power user and you want to download a lot of stuff, you really need to look at the published EVDO speeds for these cards and what you can actually get bandwidth-wise. Now, if you do a search for Sprint EVDO, a speed or something like that on my blog, you'll find some articles I posted that show the type of speed I get. But here's the kicker. You can be in an area that has Sprint or Verizon service. You could have bars on your phone. That does not mean that you have EVDO service, okay? You definitely want to call Sprint or Verizon and see where the EVDO coverage is, what type it is. If it's Rev A, then you're even more better. That's even faster, okay? So talk with the Sprint representative, see if you can get a demo. That's what I recommend you do, get a demo card. Ask them if you can get a card for a couple of days to use as a demo and plug it straight into your laptop if you've got a port for a PCMC IA card and check it out. See what it does. See what kind of speed you get. And it's great for me on travel or when I'm wandering around here in Honolulu. I use it a lot. But I don't use it in the house. I don't use my Sprint EVDO card while I'm at home. I do have broadband through Time Warner and, of course, the Clearwire connection as well. Okay, got an email from Frank. He said, now I'm digging the videos one by one. I have a little time. Nice side benefit is to see you now able to put a face to that voice. A lot of people have said, hey, I had you really pictured differently. Another email here. It says, Todd, thank you for continuing to discuss fair use and rallying for our rights to use the media we buy in all the ways we can. They say democracy is a good form of government, but it's the best one there is. Well, the same can be said for capitalism. It can be sickening to see the hyper-profit motive in action, but capitalism beats the alternatives. I agree. I believe it beats the alternatives there, Frank. I do agree. He says, we need to be vigilant from letting it get out of... Excuse me. He says we need to be vigilant from letting it get out of control, though. People need to fight on the consumer side. It may seem old-fashioned, but we need to put pressure on our politicians. If we don't, the only pressure felt by our politicians will be from the industry lobbyists who want it their way without our reasoned voices demanding fairness from the... Yeah, I agree. We have to demand fairness. We have to understand what the goals of these companies are. These goals of these companies are to remove your fair use rights through attrition of hardware and equipment that you have. You know, we're not all going to have VHSs forever, all right? When those go bye-bye, and when you have the DVD recorders you have, when those become obsolete, and they've got DRM wrapped in all this gear, fair use is going to be gone, all right? So you really need to... You know, stay on top of all this. Keep an eye on it. If you find a good DRM article, send them to me. Please, please, please. I got an email from Jay. He said, hey, Todd, love the show, but I would love you to touch on the other operating systems. I would encourage you and your audience to put in a Linux Live CD and a CD-ROM drive, especially in light of Vista's content restriction and access protection that will be further violating your fair use rights. Now, you may say, use Linux. Yes, the desktop has progressed very far and is very usable. Do not take my word. And he goes and says, visit Ubuntu and or OpenSUSE and use those, try those out. Well, I've got, he said, goes on here talking some more about those. And, you know, I don't know, Jay. And I understand Linux has some, you know, has come a long ways, but for the average person, you know, I think you're asking a lot for the average person to go to Linux. Linux has got this, you know, people think that it's this operating system that is very tough to use. And for sure, if you have to deal with a command line on Linux, you gotta be schooled on what you're doing. I understand they have a GUI interface or an interface that's similar to different operating systems, but you know, and there's a breadth of tools out there. But boy, I don't know. I'm all for it. You know, I don't, but I'm not a Linux guru, so that's one of the reasons why I don't talk about it here on the show. I know Windows. I know a lot more now about the Mac, and you know, there's only so many hours in a day to be able to review and look at different operating systems. If you've got a great show that talks about Linux that you listen to, or any of the it talks about Ubuntu or talks about OpenSUSE, you know, go ahead and let me know. Drop me an email. And I'll recommend it to the listeners here. I just don't get into Linux that much. I hate to go on the command line anymore. I really, really do. Got an email from Daryl. In a recent podcast, you mentioned the new website, Divine, not appearing right to some in Mac OS X. I've also seen the problems with SUSE Linux with Firefox screenshot attached. Thanks for that, Daryl. Appreciate that. And I've been sending that stuff over to the developer. Okay, think I've got time for one more email here, and we'll wrap this up. Actually, I got a couple more. Let me see how many I can. He said, Todd, greeting from Northwest Kansas. Just watched some of your vids from CES. Awesome job. Love the content. And got more to come. Great, and I do mean great redesign on the website. What advice do you have for a small network engineer consultant? Do you have to design a great 2.0-looking website like yours? I have to say that I've been listening long since Single Digit Podcast and have been developed a mental image of you in my brain, and then I saw you on the videos. Boy, the two did not match up. It never does it? And he says, I admire your dedication to GNC and your energy level you put into every show. What's your secret to high energy? Jumping jacks before the show, Chris. Tonight it was two aspirin, and I won't say the brand that I use, but they were high milligram counts, let's put it that way. Almost didn't make it tonight. But so far as the website design, I'll be straight up, Chris. I did a heavy investment in that design. If you want a great design, you have to hire a great developer. And if you want to hire a great developer, you have to be willing to pay for that design. Those of you that think that you can, you know, I have used developers overseas before, and you definitely get what you pay for in some instances, and I've had good luck with developers, but I've also learned a lot in the web development space over the last year, and I know now better questions to ask developers that I'm hiring, no matter where they're at, depending upon what they, and how, what type of, you know, what type of development they work under. You look at the techpodcast.com site. That was done by a firm overseas, and I believe it was, I can't even remember, Ukraine or someplace like that where these guys built that. But they used a lot of tables in that site design, and you know, here in another year or two, I'm probably going to have to go back and hire someone to clean that all up. And but it was inexpensive. Don't get me wrong. That website design was inexpensive. So you can hire someone really inexpensive, or you can hire someone that costs a little more. You get what you pay for. And sure, the site at Geek News Central, we've got a few minor issues with it yet, but the developer and I are working together. We wanted a certain look, and to get that certain look, we did take a little bit of a performance hit on page load times. And if I determine at some point here that I'm not willing to trade that off anymore, we'll go back and make some, especially in the title links on the page. That seems to be where most of people are having problems with different browsers. Okay, got an email from, Scott. Oh, my goodness. He sent me a Zune review. I'm going to flag this. This will go on a later show. This is just, can't cover this all. And I got an email from Jed. He said, hey, thanks to sender that sent the email. I do not have the connection settings to choose USB essentially what he did is I forwarded, remember the gentleman that had the problem with his phone? He basically went through and he said that, please thank the sender for me. I do not have the connection setting to choose USB. I already use a memory card reader to transfer images and music. I was just told that I could use the Microsoft ActiveSync to import contacts and media player to sync my music. It's a major pain in the rear to use a memory card reader. When I was told otherwise, technology is all about ease of use, usually. And he says, I'm creating my own personal mobile web page to download homemade ringers and screensavers. He says, this is like a DRM issue. Those companies want you to pay for ringtones and screensavers when any tech-savvy person can create their own. Now I have to go through the motions of creating a page so I can transfer personal images, personal ringers to my phone, which, by the way, if you ever make a branded logo and want to offer it up for listeners to download the image for a screensaver or have a ringtone you want to offer up, that is a Geek News Central-related. Let me know. I could easily set up for you and send your web guy the code, being the geek I am. Hey, I'm interested in that. We'll have to see what we can do there. He said, also, I'm interested in creating a site to offer up a service that you have mentioned on the show, a place to upload your video audio cast, and the site would take care of the uploading it to multiple sites you would normally have to upload. Not to steal your idea, it is a good one. What are some of the major sites you would like to list to be, which of the major sites would be in the list, be in your list to upload to? Gosh, I'm sorry, I can't even read. Jed, I'll have to get those together. If you put that site together, it'd be awesome. It really, really would. So anyway, let me get off in here. And, oh man, we busted an hour. Wouldn't you know it? Okay, comments to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail comments to 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. We'll be back with you on Friday. And should have some cool things to talk about on Friday. And until then, you all take care. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. I really do appreciate each and every one of you. And look forward to hearing your stories about buying Vista and getting it installed on your PCs. Until next time, aloha.